B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no-good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's hour two. Felger and Maserati here from the Garden. Antonio Brown, the Steelers receiver who was traded just recently to the Oakland Raiders, demanded a trade out of Pittsburgh, shot his way out of town, got there. During the process of the trade, you wondered, were the Patriots involved? Would they be interested? There was some sort of rumbles that they might be. Turns out they were. Turns out they very much were. And we know this now because... because I don't care about this crap, but Antonio Brown released a podcast in which he put tape-recorded conversations of him and Drew Rosenhaus on his podcast. Does that describe it?
Yeah.
Okay. So, did Rosenhaus know he was being taped?
Oh, I'm sure. I can't imagine he did it without it.
Well, if not, it's a federal crime.
Well, no, it's a crime to publish it. So, Rosenhaus obviously knew he was going to publish it. Did he know he was recording at the time? I don't know. Anyway, the sound is... fascinating, because I think it really shows Antonio Brown. You know, he's woof. Wow, this guy.
Oh, he's a whack job.
Whack job. And Drew Rosenhaus has to deal with this whack job.
Yeah, you know, to me that was sort of the interesting part of the whole thing is how Rosenhaus has to hold his hand and really sort of like guide him through it to make sure he doesn't lose his mind. But keep going.
Yeah, meaning Rosenhaus's mind. So anyway, they're having this is March 5th, I guess. So they're having a conversation about where he's going. What the parameters are, the trade compensation Brown cares a lot about because, oh, man, I get two first-round picks from me. A lot of respect to first, second-round picks. So he's really into what his compensation is going to be, and even though it doesn't impact him one bit. So they're just going back and forth, the teams and everything. We'll just pick it up here. Jimmy, play the first one.
Listen, I mean, if it's not the Raiders, then we'll make it work with the Eagles or the Patriots or the Titans.
The Patriots ready too, huh?
The Patriots are in the mix. I put Belichick in touch with Kevin Colbert today.
I'm saying, so how the decision is going to come down? Is it going to come down like to what club willing to give up the most?
From the Steelers' standpoint, that's what they want.
Okay.
They want the most compensation. I really want you to have a good quarterback, and I want you to be in a
good situation.
A winning environment, man. You know, New England to me, Philadelphia, these are two of the last – Super Bowl champs, you know?
100%.
Okay, so that's where it first comes up. And even Antonio Brown, in whatever stupor he's in, you know, when Rosenhaus first mentions the Patriots, he's like, oh, they're involved? Like, that got his attention. Boom.
Well, sure. Why wouldn't it?
And it should. And it should. And it's interesting.
Got my attention.
You know, Rosenhaus isn't just saying the most money. A good environment, a good quarterback. And I don't know if he really believes that because – Oakland has a good environment, a winning environment.
No, he just wants his percentage. Where he goes.
And how many times, though, did Rosenhaus say that? Which struck me as, you know, like I have to convince Antonio Brown that the deal might not be the best deal, what he wants in terms of money, but I'll get him a good place to play. He said it over and over and over again. I mean, it was like he had to make sure Antonio was understanding what the potential trade-off was.
Okay, play the second clip, James.
The Steelers have been good communicators with me. You know, we've talked a couple times every day about the teams, and they know that it's important to us. That's why they open it up for the, you know, Patriots as well. And that's a good development for us that, you know, they're now willing to trade you to New England. So now it's a process of New England stepping up, you know?
Yeah.
That's not great business for the Steelers to trade you to the world champs in the same conference.
So they don't care. They're making money. They don't. They got this going on. This never ending. So they don't care.
I think at this point, AB, they're just ready to get the best compensation, regardless of the team.
Okay, Patriots very much involved there. So. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
And we can make fun of Rosenhaus and AB all day long.
Yeah.
I mean, those are slow-moving targets. Rosenhaus is a typical slimy agent. And Antonio Brown, I think, is on Planet Zippy.
He doesn't even come off the guy that, like, knows how the money is how they deal with money in the league.
So we can make fun of those guys if we want. Fine. Got it. They're dopes. Antonio Brown can play. you have no receivers. You have really nothing around Tom Brady right now other than Julian Edelman at 30-whatever, another year removed from not being able to do steroids. I mean, that's all you got. Mm-hmm. And a running game. Okay? Antonio Brown went for a fifth-round pick and a third-round pick. And his salary, he signed a three-year, $50 million deal. 30 guaranteed. Okay? 30 guaranteed. Is that outrageous of a cost?
No. Listen, I've been telling you two jack wagons for how long that I would take Antonio Brown in a second.
Okay, I wouldn't. I'm doing this for those who like these receivers, okay? I wouldn't, but I'm just...
The 30 guaranteed's too high.
It is?
Yeah, it is.
Why?
It is
no, it is. He's the best receiver in the game.
It's too, I don't know about that anymore. It's basically, he's also 30 years old.
It's basically two guaranteed years. If you franchise him this year and next, he'd make around 30. I mean, that's really how you should probably look at it. So you really... And if you want to just spread it over three, you know, it's 10-a-year guarantee. You know, but really,
sure.
the way I would look at that guarantee is the franchise tag for receivers, I think in that range, 15, 16, whatever. It's like franchising him two straight years. And then you're done with guarantees by year three. It's just, again, how I would rationalize that. I don't know when the money's actually paid out. But if I were Rosenhaus, I'd demand it all in those first couple of years. So anyway, I just don't think that's that outrageous of a contract for Antonio Brown. Again, I don't want him. I'll be consistent. But that was not an outrageous contract. And the third and the fifth?
Mike, the Raiders did well on that.
Yeah, it's a freaking steal.
The picks are nothing.
No, no. We said this at the time. Gruden, the way Gruden executed this whole thing between moving Cooper to Dallas when he did, getting a first and then getting Antonio Brown for a third and a fifth, Gruden nailed it.
Okay, so I don't want Antonio Brown. I'm asking you. Should the Patriots have offered a second and a fifth and given Brown that contract or something close to it? I mean, they could structure it differently so they could, you know, do all the nonsense they like to do with deferred payments and bonuses and blah, blah, blah. Put it on their terms, but get him something close to that. 3 years, 50. Give up a second and a fifth. That would have beat the Raiders' offer. And have Antonio Brown here. Should they have done it? The Steelers were willing to do it.
Yes.
No. I don't like him. He's Terrell Owens to me. He just completely gutted the Steelers. And that money is ridiculous up front for him.
It is?
It is. At 30 years old.
It's not all up front. It's just guaranteed.
Yeah, 30 guaranteed. If this was Odell Beckham Jr., I would be into him. And I know he might be more of a pain in the ass in terms of like some antic stuff, but he's not as bad of a guy, I think, than Antonio Brown, who literally just gutted the whole Steelers system in the last two seasons.
Hey, look, I'm going to be consistent, too. I've said all along, I don't think Antonio Brown was the problem with the Steelers. I think it's Ben Roethlisberger and the coach. That's what I think. I think it's those
two
guys.
They're part of it, but Brown's a big a-hole.
So he is. He is. I'm taking him. Again, bring me the a-hole. I'm okay with that. Bring him in.
Okay, but here's the thing. The Steelers would have traded him to you, okay? And that's what we learned with this Rosenhaus thing. The Steelers were willing to trade you Antonio Brown. I thought that the impediment would be that the Steelers would never do that. They're just not going to help their chief rival. They're not going to hand the Patriots anything. And so,
well, those were the initial reports.
Exactly.
It was the division in New England.
Exactly. Which is, I've always thought, dumb. You get what's best for you. You get if the Steelers, you know, if their chief rival, the Browns or the Ravens, are offering you two first round picks, you take it. And if he has to go in division, he goes in division. You worry about yourself, and then you beat him. I hate when teams do that. You have to send them to the other conference. Have to send them to the other side of the country. Have to send them out of the division. And take a worse return? Oh, I hate that rationale. So the Steelers at some point got smart and said, you know what? No, we're just going to take the most. So now the Patriots are involved. So I thought there's no way the Steelers would have done it, but okay, they would have. And you didn't have to give up a first-round pick. You have three in the third.
And they have two late seconds.
They have two in the second. Exactly. Raiders gave up 66 and 114. Okay, the fifth rounder was 114. 66 and 114. You are sitting at 56, 64, 73, 97, and 101. Those are your five picks between the second and the third. You easily could have beat that offer.
Sure.
Easily.
Yeah, no question about it.
And then that money's, it's a lot, but it's not, I don't know. Is it that bad?
No, it isn't. Again, I'd have done it. I'd have done it. Because who would you rather have? Pain in the brown? A pain in the ass?
No, I like that.
Pain in the brown. It works too. Pain in the ass, Antonio Brown. Or do you want freaking Bruce Ellington and Honey Nut Berrios?
So I was going to come up with one of those names, but I've already forgotten them all. Who are these guys they just signed?
Bruce Ellington and Maurice Harris.
Maurice Harris. That was the other one.
Yeah, no, good. I mean, that's perfect. Yeah. Not only am I going to have the Lollipop Guild, I'm going to have the sucky Lollipop Guild out there. I'd take Antonio Brown in a second.
Look, yeah.
In a second I would take him.
Guy doesn't know his role. He doesn't. That was proven with the whole way that this thing played out in Pittsburgh.
Good.
Well, and it'll be 31 by the beginning of the season. It's too much for a guy that age. I know he's been phenomenal, but if you could get a younger guy, DeAndre Hopkins or an Odell Beckham Jr., yes, I can be convinced of that. But this guy, no, I'm good.
Yeah,
he's too much of a pain in the ass.
How old's Bruce Ellington? By the way,
oh, please, it doesn't matter.
He's not even going to make the team. I know the wide receiver core sucks right now, Maz.
I'm a no on Brown, but I'm part of my job here is to facilitate conversation, and I know a lot of you are yes on Brown. He was there for you. He was there for you.
Oh, just add him to the list of many players they've whiffed on this offseason. That's frustrating.
And all it was some money because the draft picks were palatable for the guy like that, that talent.
Listen, I told you I'd have done it. I mean, to me, you put that guy with Brady, him, Brady, and Edelman. Brady complete 80% of his passes, 80% for crying out loud. Nobody be able to stop him with those two. That would have been awesome to watch.
Okay, so if you
feel then Murray and Jones and whoever else could take their running backs and shove them because
let's hand off to Sony. Did you see that 3-yard run?
Because Sony Michel would see the ball about 3 times a game. 2 of them would be in the pregame.
All right, so let's pick this up with your thoughts on the replay, everything, and your calls after this.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Star Market Broadcast Studio. It's Felger and Mads. Bruins Game Day on your home of the Bees. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And I think the Steelers are taking it very seriously and trying to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're willing to consider even New England. You know, think about that. Think about playing with the greatest quarterback in NFL history. And he's a cool guy.
I'm saying they got them first rounds too, so am I going top 2 rounds? I'm going at least the first 2 rounds.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. Of course, man.
That'd be an honor.
Yes, they won't tell me exactly what they're going to offer, but I have a feeling it's going to be very lucrative for us.
That's going to be amazing.
And I don't think we'll have any problem getting a deal done with these guys.
Yeah, we need that. We need that respect, that guarantee that Robert Kraft's a cool guy, too.
Kraft is one of the wealthiest guys in the NFL, AB. So
yeah, I'll pull up. That'd be great. That'd just be like that championship talk.
Antonio Brown. Again, I don't want him because I think the dude is out to lunch and a clubhouse poison, and you know how I feel about those receivers. But again, every now and then in my role as a talk show host, I have to facilitate conversation. I'm just telling you, when Rosenau says we can get a deal done with them, you heard him just say that there?
He did, yeah.
That's true. Rosenau has done deals with the Patriots the whole way through. Bill deals with Rosenau. He doesn't mind Rosenau. You know, back when I covered the team, I know that, you know, and so that was a while ago. But, I mean, just look. Rosenau has helped navigate the Gronkowski stuff the entire time. Every year there's some sort of de facto contract beef. And they always sort of figure it out. Gronkowski never held out. So I think that's Rosenhaus and Bill have a good rapport.
See, I don't doubt that for a second. I also think that there was a sell job going on there with Antonio Brown. Because, look, Rosenhaus has dealt with all kinds of players, right? He's been around a long time. He knows who the high maintenance pain in the asses are. And he has to appeal to them and just stroke their egos. So you know what he says to a guy like Antonio Brown? Hey, look, our number one goal is to get you in a place with a good quarterback, Philly, New England. What he's not saying, he knows damn well. Do you think the Patriots would have gone to the lengths Oakland did to pay him?
I think they would have structured it differently.
Okay, so I guess, and this is what I'm saying.
But I just looked it up. I just said this before off the top of my head because I know how these things are usually structured. All of his guarantees are done in the first 2 years. He only got a $1 million signing bonus. So it's not even like you have to write a check for $30 million, Murray. And that's a huge – that's a real money thing. You don't want to write checks for – they write a check for $1 million now, and then he gets – you know, his base salary divided by 17 for the next 2 years guaranteed. That's sort of it in terms of the guarantees. I don't think it's structured really that badly.
No, so – but I think that Rosenhaus knows that the Patriots would have been, you know, a little less forthcoming at the beginning of the deal than maybe some of the other teams were. For that matter, maybe Philly too. Like, you know, Philly's already spent some money in some places, and they moved Bennett out, but they brought in Malik Jackson. Like, I don't know how much money a lot of these teams have left, and I haven't looked at Philly's cap situation. But I think that was Rosenhaus trying to manage his client, as if to say, look, if we get you in a place with a good quarterback, you may not quite get the money you want, but that's all right. We'll get you in a good spot.
Okay, so let's pick up this conversation. Jules in New Hampshire, your thoughts on Antonio Brown. Go ahead, Jules.
Yeah, what's happening? Yeah, the Steelers were never going to give the Pats the same deal as they gave Oakland. That wasn't going
to
happen.
Correct. And so you'd have to overpay a little bit.
Yeah, a much bit. And I'm just
a much
with
bit?
Element, you, yeah, a lot. A lot more. On this thing with Element, you keep on asking.
I'm not convinced of that. I'm just going to stop you there. Your phone's mediocre. I mean,
I'm shaking my head because, again, you know, he doesn't want you to be able to look at the Patriots and say, yeah, you could add Antonio Brown.
I mean, they easily could have.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, I think that deal was there to be made. I think that they could have had Adam Humphries, for crying out loud, if they would have extended just a little bit more or a little more aggressive.
Folks, again, the Patriots have five picks between the second and third round. Five picks in the second and third round. I mean, I just did it. I just pulled up the Jimmy Johnson draft value chart. The picks the Steelers gave up were their third and their fifth. Okay, 66 overall and 114. That equals 326 points. If the Patriots just gave up their first second rounder, 56 overall, you know what that equals? 340. So just by giving, the Patriots giving their first of two second round picks, they beat the Steelers' offer. So what I would do is I'd give them my first pick in the second and my last in the third, or even a fourth. And that easily, these draft nerds, they look at that value chart. If you just do that, if you give them your first and the second, a second and a third, that blows the Raiders off out of the water.
Yeah, no, you win easily. Yeah, you win easily. It was there to be made. That deal was there to be made. They have collateral to make these moves. That's not the question. And granted, they don't have a high first rounder, but they have lots of picks in the. I think they have six in the first 101. It is.
So look, I don't mind them passing because I don't like those kind of players. I'm just telling you, if they were making the call and they were interested, then I don't know. Why did it come up short?
Yeah, I did want him.
Because Brown and Rosenhaus were clearly interested in making that deal. You didn't have to give up a first, it doesn't look like. The closest, the highest that they got was the 66th overall pick, for crying out loud. That was the Steelers' third-round pick. So you could easily have beaten that by a pretty healthy margin and not give up your first. So that was there. The money, I know, had to have been for them number one on the list. And even then, I don't think it was that bad. I don't. Mike and Lowell. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you guys doing? Isn't
good, Mike. What do you got?
Isn't AB just very articulate? I love the audio. But no, what I'm calling about is the pay. $30 million guaranteed, meaning I would assume that the other $20 million are incentives or however that works. But if we offer Thielen, what, $9 million? And we offered Humphreys $9 million or something like that. I don't know if we offered Tate or Cole Beasley. But you know what I mean? We're not going to pay another million more guaranteed for Antonio Brown over Thielen or Humphreys. Come on.
Well, good point. I mean, your math doesn't totally work out, but if you're willing to pay Humphreys 10.
Yeah, they were in that neighborhood anyway.
You can't give Antonio Brown 15 guaranteed in that first year and 15 in the second?
Absolutely, you could have. Yeah, absolutely, which is why, again, now I wonder what other things might have been discussed here that we don't know about or whatever, but the point is this, ultimately. Did the Patriots have the collateral to make that deal? And the need, which is the more important thing.
Resounding yes.
Yeah, and so I told you, I was a yes on Antonio Brown from the beginning. I would absolutely do that. But Patriots fans will find a way to twist it around and defend Belichick because, you know, you'd have to give up a lot more than the Raiders did. No, you really wouldn't have.
Well, no, you'd have to give up more. That I agree with.
Yeah, but maybe not a lot more.
But I don't think you'd have to give up a first-round pick. Again, the spread between what you would have to give up and what the Raiders gave, wouldn't it be from a third to a first? It'd be from a third to a second. I mean, I acknowledge that. You'd have to give up more, but I just gave it to you.
And, Mike, when you say from a third to a second, the Raiders' third is at the top of the third. Your second is at the end of the second.
If you give
That's not that big a jump.
If you give them your second and your fourth round pick is number 134, okay? Again, Raiders gave up a third and a fifth. So just bump up each one of those one round because you would have to pay more. A second and a fourth. That equals 380 points. Again, the Steelers' offer was 326. So that, I mean, it was from a draft pick standpoint, you had it. You had it to beat the Raiders and beat them pretty good. Was it the money? I mean, it usually is. That's always a big consideration everywhere, here included. But if you were in on him, he was there. And I wouldn't have thought it would have been that close.
I'm telling you, it's not even really a full roundup. Again, you're talking, you only have to offer him about, what is it, 8, 10, 12 spots? In each case, because the Raiders are at the top of the third. You're at the bottom of the second. It's not that much more.
Okay, I just find that that's what... Look, the audio is brilliant. Because Antonio Brown, again, like, woo! Whoa!
Strikes me as a man who loves weed.
Oh, loves something. But anyway, the audio's great.
They should have done it. Can you imagine if the Steelers had traded him here and then Odell Beckham ends up with the Browns? People in Pittsburgh would be pissed.
I'm just saying, but that was a doable deal for you, it turns out. That was there for you. And I just think that's a more relevant conversation to me. Should they have just stepped up and done what Pittsburgh was willing to do? And what Antonio Brown was willing to do? Should they have done that? We'll continue with that. We'll continue with your thoughts on the replay. Okay, is where we started. We'll do that throughout the course of the day. Also going to get to some Robert Kraft developments. There are some. We'll do that later this hour. But next, we're just going to give you a quick little Celtics minute. We'll do it after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Stoker and Mass. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final 15 seconds. Outlet pass picked off by Marcus Smart. A truly poetic way to end this one. Marcus Smart, brilliant on both ends of the floor in the second half as the Celtics... Never easy, but they get it done and score a double-digit win tonight in Cleveland to snap the losing streak. The final score, Boston 116, Cleveland 106.
Okay, quick Celtics minute. Nothing on last night.
Double-digit win.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, you guys didn't see the big digital banner outside the Garden when you're driving in today? It simply reads, clinched. With some of the Celtics players behind you, you didn't see that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to be coming maybe from my way on 93. Yeah, clinched. We're number five. We're number five. We're number five. Yuck.
Double-digit win at Cleveland. Ooh.
Okay, game sucked, meant nothing. Maz, you heard Mike Gorman this morning on TNR that you had some thoughts on.
Okay, so there were two things that he said that I was in the car this morning and heard it that struck me. The first concerned Gordon Hayward, who, again, had a pretty good game last night. I think it was 15 points. He's been plus in a lot of his games of late. Jamie, if we could play it, please.
I did think we had passed a milestone last night. Ted, you mentioned you thought it might have come earlier in the Cleveland game previously, mm-hmm. but there was a play in the first quarter where Hayward drove the baseline and dunked it on the same, it wasn't an alley-oop, it was off the dribble, but it was the same basket, and Scal and I both looked at it and said it was like deja vu as he ran up the court. It was like, oh, it wasn't so much a smile on his face, it was a look like, okay, that's behind me. And that could be a huge turning point for the Celtics heading into the playoffs, because I think we've talked about this before, Rich, they need him to be the second guy.
Okay, so again, when he says the same basket in Cleveland that Hayward suffered the leg injury on in the opener last season. And the reason it struck me is, well, that could be a huge turning point. How many times have we said that? How many times have we said that? With Gordon Hayward or about the team? I'm done talking about turning points. This is why I dismissed it, and it irritated me while I was listening to it. So what is it with Hayward? Hayward plays a couple of good games before the All-Star break, and you know what happened? He rolled his ankle working out with Semi Ojeleye.
You also understand that when Kyrie's not there, he's a different guy.
Yeah. Okay, yes. And then Hayward came back after he rolled his ankle and played better again and had the game in Golden State. Oh, here he comes. Here's Hayward. And then you know what happened? Concussion protocol. There was something else. And then now Hayward comes back and what? In Cleveland without Kyrie on the floor, we're going to celebrate that? We have no idea still. We don't know. We still don't know. We see flashes of it. We don't see it with any level of consistency. So this whole turning point crap that we talk about with the Celtics all year long, I'm sick of it. I'm sick. There's only one potential turning point, and that's the postseason and a run to the finals. That's it. There is no other turning point. I'm not giving them any credit for beating the Cleveland Cavaliers or Gordon Hayward playing well. Okay, that's number one. Number two, he was then asked about Kyrie. And I don't know. You've talked about him in the past. Mike Gorman's a gentleman. Like, he is. That's the word I would use.
A super guy.
He is a gentleman. He's very dignified, very sort of in control of his emotions, all of it.
He's not trash like us.
No,
exactly.
I mean, we're garbage.
No, he's a higher level than us.
No, he is. He's a higher quality human being.
No
There's just no two ways about it. I mean, he's sort of like, I think of him as like an Ivy League professor type.
Correct.
When he's got that sort of level of cerebral control.
We're animals.
Like, yes.
Yeah, Delta House.
Right. So he was asked about Kyrie and the leadership on the Celtics, and the exchange went like this.
See, do you think this team doesn't have a leader, or it doesn't have a good leader? Because I think that Kyrie Irving, how he goes, the team goes. And Rozier even admitted that. You know, the attitude of Kyrie is the attitude of the team.
Yeah, he did say that.
Yeah.
Jimmy, can we stop
so it almost seems like,
like that pause there, I heard that and I went, oh my God, Gorman thinks Kyrie's a pud. He does. He thinks Kyrie's a pud. He looks at him and says, yeah, he said that. Yeah, that's what he said. And doesn't disagree with it. And again, higher level of being,
right?
Which for me, that level of silence, when I heard Gorman, I went, oh, he's around them all the time. He knows this guy's a tool bag. Tool bag. Mike Gorman just called Kyrie Irving a tool bag.
In his fashion, that's correct.
As far as I'm concerned. Yep. So I heard that and I went, oh, wow. Talk about condemnation. And that it does go on a little bit to talk about, which honestly, Jimmy, we don't even need to play that part, about he thinks Kyrie's the leader of the team when they're on the floor. But he said not when they're away from the floor. Which, again, speaks to these guys aren't following him. They have no interest in being with him away from the basketball court. They don't like him. He's not a leader. They don't believe in him. He's aloof. He's different. And it's hard to have that kind of guy as the dominant personality on your team.
Okay, since we have a couple minutes before the break here, and we just did a little diversion here from football, why don't I add this call on the list? It's a Red Sox thought, KJ in Fall River. I think following up on our point yesterday, Maz's point, that Mookie Betts doesn't want to stay here, isn't going to stay here, isn't worth the money, and so ideally you should be trading him. Not that they would, but you should. KJ in Fall River, you want to follow up on that?
Yeah, hey, look, he got the MVP, won the World Series, he wants $400 million. He doesn't do anything in the playoffs, though. Trade well, his stock is high. Trade him now.
Okay, I think Maz would agree. I think Murray would agree on the playoff thing.
Yeah, but I still think that you don't do it this year only because you're essentially returning the same team outside of a shaky bullpen that just won the World Series. And I think because of how bad the American League is, you have a legitimate shot to repeat, so you don't do it this year. Next year, that's when you trade Mookie.
They could get a massive haul for him. Massive. And so they won't do it. I'm not, and I'm under no illusions about them doing it. But after the year, I think it is very much in play.
Okay, we'll continue with our Antonio Brown conversation, the replay conversation. I do want to give you the latest on Robert Kraft, though, right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, it's Felger and Maz. Bruins Game Day on your home of the Bees, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You've set a precedent already of suspending players who were never officially charged with a crime, such as Kareem Hunt and Ezekiel Elliott. Robert Kraft, meanwhile, has been charged, and though he's denied the charges, he made a statement last week in which he apologized for his behavior. Do you feel that the personal conduct policy and the precedent you set requires you to suspend Kraft, regardless of how his legal case is resolved?
I think we said several weeks ago the personal conduct policy applies to everybody, commissioners, owners, executives, players, coaches, and it will be applied to everybody. But it will be done after we get all the facts. We have all the information, and we'll be fair and smart about it, and that's what we'll do.
All right, Goodell yesterday on Robert Kraft. We'll feel the cuts to play for you on that. The latest occurred yesterday where Kraft waived his appearance at the arraignment, pled not guilty to both charges, and then requested a jury trial, which was different than how he and his legal team started this process. Their initial approach was to go to a bench trial, just the judge, but he has changed that now to a jury trial. We were curious why, you know, what's the point? Some folks had said, Michael Coyne on NBC Sports Boston, that's all delay tactic, that jury trials just take longer because you've got to, again, not just sequester, or, you know, not just impanel the jury, it's a jury, it's different lawyers, and it's just a whole bigger process, and if you want to drag the thing out, you go jury trial. And so Michael Coyne thought that that was just a delay tactic by Kraft to reach a settlement with the government, reach a settlement with the league, and, you know, just sort of wrap it all up. Others think that maybe Kraft just wants to delay it past the season opener so he can be there to drop the banner, okay, which is possible. But, you know, well, and I'll play some follow-up cuts here. Goodell says we're waiting for all the facts. He didn't say we're waiting for the case to end. So the NFL can still suspend him before the season opener, even if Kraft requests a jury trial and it drags on forever. So, well, in fact, Jimmy, why don't you play? Why don't you play Goodell number two for me?
Did Robert Kraft address the other owners on his legal situation? And secondly, just in terms of timing, you said you were going to wait till all the facts come in. Do you mean when his case resolves?
No, when we get all the facts. That includes everything that would, might be pertinent to this. So, second, we don't talk about what people say on the floor and what they don't. I don't know what conversations he had individually. But, you know, the things that are said on our floor are things that we continue to keep on the floor. So.
Okay. And no one's talking about it. So, I mean, you have no Kraft is already, you know, talking to people about it and getting advice on it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know that it's going back and forth. But Goodell said that doesn't necessarily mean we're just waiting for the case. So if Kraft thinks that delaying the thing and going jury trial precludes him from being suspended for the season opener, that's not necessarily the case. Okay. But I was reading the Globe today. And, you know, they talked to some defense attorneys who said, you know, there might be some other motives in terms of, well, him actually trying to win the case. The Globe story says that one Florida defense attorney, not involved in the case, said Kraft's legal team appears to be laying the groundwork for a possible trial that could appeal to jurors' emotions. Eric Matheny said a jury trial presents the opportunity for, quote, a more of an emotional appeal as opposed to a legal argument to be made. He said when you want a jury, you want the theatrics of a trial, he said. You want them to see that your client is a human being, that he was perhaps maybe even set up. Judges, again said this attorney, tend to focus more on the legal issues. It's a less emotionally targeted process when you have a judge instead of a jury. So he's talking like this is still the best way to craft for Kraft to win the thing is to humanize it, not legalize it. And in that case, he wants real people there.
Entirely possible, which again, to me, is what? He should have done at the beginning, you know, is issue accept the responsibility for it, especially if you can have it expunged from your record, essentially, and appeal to the humanity of the public. Instead of just a 12-person jury, appeal to the millions who are Patriots fans, say, hey, look, you know, it's a harder life without my wife.
Okay. And then they talked to another Florida criminal defense attorney named Robert Whittle. He says a typical trial for solicitation of prostitution in Florida would feature a 6-juror panel with one alternate, he said. So I stupidly said yesterday 12, they need 7 votes. Like, no, you got to be a unanimous. And it's he says you only need to peel one off to mistry the case to have a hung jury. Right? I don't know why I said you need 7 versus 6, but I don't know if you've been in jury rooms as I have. That If you're one of the few dissenters, you pretty much get brought around for the most part.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, especially if it's you know, overwhelming, right? If it's 7-5, well then you have a debate.
12 Angry Men, if you remember that movie, I don't know how much that really exists. But either way, the point is, it's a 6-juror panel, and you only need to peel one off to mistry the case, said the second judge, the second attorney. The second attorney also said a judge would still need to make important legal determinations in the case. Kraft's lawyers have raised questions about the legality of the videotaping inside and the traffic stop initiated by the law enforcement after Kraft left the spa on January 19th. So these things, whether they were admissible or not, or legal or not, that go to the judge, not the jury. So the judge still plays a huge role in this. So is Kraft going to the jury trial really because of he wants to win the case? He really wants to walk into trial? He wants the theatrics of a trial? You got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, like, I mean, you can't be serious on this. For the happy ending? Does that ever happen? Has anyone gone to a jury trial for a happy ending?
I can't imagine.
It's just, especially when they're willing to drop the charges.
Yeah. 2 misdemeanor charges.
That they will drop and expunge from the record. Instead, he wants to go to a jury. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that's just, it's absurd.
It is absurd. It's totally absurd.
I mean, I would like to know the percentage of cases like this, that where the guy is offered to have the charges dropped, says, nope, I won't let you drop the charges. Keep the charges on me. I want to go to trial in front of a jury. I mean,
and that's probably one or two outliers that were desperate to avoid divorce.
And, you know, and Murray gave me a link quickly on, you know, how do they get off on the video thing?
This one's unbelievable.
This is unreal.
This is unbelievable.
So when they put in for the warrant, when they initially approached the judge down there for a search warrant to put in the video cameras, they said they wanted to monitor the spa. Okay, so again, the application of the warrant clearly asks for permission to monitor and record what was going on inside the spa. When the judge then granted the warrant for them to go monitor and record what was going on inside the spa, the actual word he uses is monitor, and he left out record.
See?
He left out record. Okay? And this was first reported by a TV station down there. We checked the paperwork. The search warrant applications clearly ask for monitor and recording permission. In the title of the document. However, the judge's order granting those permissions only uses the word monitor and not monitor and record.
Illegal recording. Hashtag free Mr. Kraft.
I've had people tweet me about this. Like, go look it up. No. Because my question to you, sir or madam tweeting me this, what do you think happened in the day spa? What do you think happened? See? He's going to get off. I know.
See, this is why replay can't work because you suck.
Oh, my God.
So, okay. So, and maybe it does. Maybe it does. Maybe that is the technicality that ultimately gets that video thrown out. And
he was still there. We know why he was there. Oh.
He was engaged in prostitution. I mean, we all know it. We all know it. You don't need it. It's just, it's there in all black and white. Now, does he get off on a technicality? He might. Maybe that's a technicality. But I don't know how you, unless you're just a dingbat Patriot fan, how you root for that guy who's clearly done it, clearly guilty, but gets off because he's hired enough lawyers to find a technicality to bully around little civil servants and get off of it. I mean, if you're that guy, then God help you.
Boy, it is amazing, though, how so often the Patriots seem to be involved in events where you are either monitoring or recording.
They know a thing or two. Mass, what's the thing you saw about monitoring and recording?
Okay, so Daniel Wallach, the legal attorney from New Hampshire that is often on the Midday Show, tweeted out here a little while ago that there has been a media motion to intervene in the Kraft sexual solicitation case for the limited purpose of opposing Kraft's motion for a protective order to block the release of the video.
So you're saying these media companies have gone in saying, no, we want to see the tape, basically.
Correct. Because the idea, Kraft doesn't want the tape out. Media companies have intervened and said, no, we want to block that. We want to see the tape.
Good for them.
Absolutely.
Doing their job. So I
we should do that. 98.5 The Sport. Do you think the Beasleys would let us do that?
Oh, no, 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 no. And when I tell you who's on that list, you will understand why.
I want to file a motion. I want to see that tape. I'm the media.
So Daniel Wallach then lists some of the media companies on the list. And this is the part of it that struck me as interesting.
Yep.
They include USA Today, Miami Herald, Palm Beach Post, Sarasota Herald Tribune, a couple of call letter TV stations in that I'm assuming are in the Florida area or somewhere down there.
Keep going.
And then ABC, ESPN.
Good for them.
AP, the Associated Press.
Good for them.
New York Times.
Good for them.
Orlando Sentinel, Gatehouse Media, and McClatchy.
Is TMZ on there anywhere?
Okay, so not that I see. I mean,
who the hell is McClatchy? Just some guy at a bar?
Yeah, he lives down the street here, Murray.
I want to see it.
So, but I look at that list and I say, well, ESPN has Monday Night Football.
Good for them. Right. Okay? I'm telling you.
So I'm already saying, well, watch out when that TV deal comes up because somebody's going to be pissed. But who's not on the list?
Oh, CBS.
CBS.
Fox.
NBC. Fox. All the rights holders, they're not there. Now, I don't know if they can add on later or what, but isn't that amazing?
That is.
Like, you look at that and say, they don't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole. We'll let you fight the battle for us. You go out there and you do it, New York Times or Orlando or the Miami Herald or wherever. You guys go take the bullet. We are coming nowhere near it, but if you want to go ahead and ask, go ahead and ask. Like, I immediately look to see which rights holders are on there, and ESPN is the only one. So they don't want to go near it.
But good for ABC, ESPN for wanting to go near it. Good for them for doing their job. TMZ, they don't need to be on the list. They're busy paying off low-level civil servants to get it the old-fashioned way by just buying it.
Yeah, they're like, screw you. We're not gonna file a motion. We're gonna pay for it and steal it
and still get it first. All right. So there's your Robert Kraft update. Add it to the replay stuff. Everything else we've done today, we'll get right to your calls after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.